Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker, fleeing the Park Fire in Northern California.
I got all my important papers, all my pictures off the pictures, all the wall, off the wall, all my bank accounts, my cats, my dogs.
More than 300,000 acres already burned. Evacuations ordered in four counties across the border in Canada. A fast-moving wildfire has destroyed parts of the historic mountain town of Jasper in one of Canada's most treasured national parks. The verdict of visitors to last night's rain-soaked, star-studded opening ceremony of the Paris Games.
Truly like a dream come true. Even though it was raining, it was just magical.
China won the first gold medal for the 10-meter air rifle mixed team event. In the Middle East, Palestinians sheltering in a designated safe zone in Gaza are now being told to get out, the BBC's Mark Lowen reports.
The Israeli Defense Forces have dropped flyers and they have sent SMS messages and voice notes and made media appearances urging people to leave a part of Al-Mawasi. Now that is a 16 square kilometer strip of land on the coast in southern Gaza, which had been designated a humanitarian zone. Now a part of that zone, a southern chunk of it, has now, the Israeli military say, been used for rocket attacks against the Israeli army and for, as they call it, terrorist infrastructure. So basically what they have done is that they have redesignated or adjusted the boundaries of the humanitarian zone by saying that that southern little bit of Al-Mawasi is no longer a safe humanitarian zone.
Today's evacuation order in response to rocket fire that Israel says originated from the area. The FBI is clarifying just what it was that struck former President Donald Trump's ear during the attempt to assassinate the Republican presidential candidate.
An FBI statement reads, "What struck former President Trump in the ear was a bullet, whether whole or fragmented into smaller pieces, fired from the deceased subject's rifle." The statement comes 2 days after FBI Director Christopher Wray said during congressional testimony that it was not clear whether Trump was struck by a bullet or by shrapnel.
CBS's Linda Kenyon reporting. Trump delivers remarks at the Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville later today. And European regulators have refused to approve a new Alzheimer's drug widely prescribed in the U.S. The European Medical Agency arguing the benefits of lecanemab, which is marketed as Leqembi, appear negligible, and the risks of serious side effects, especially bleeding and swelling in the brain, are unacceptable. British regulators still considering the application. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris put the spotlight on student loan forgiveness at the recent American Federation of Teachers conference. Here's Danielle Smith.
The Biden administration has canceled over $62 billion in federal student debt for more than 871,000 public service workers nationwide, including teachers. Presidential candidate Kamala Harris spoke at the conference. She told them the administration sees a future with affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid leave for all.
We see a future where every student has the support and the resources they need to thrive, and a future where no teacher has to struggle with the burden of student loan debt. So as an example, our administration has forgiven student loan debt for nearly 5 million Americans.
She pointed out that the federal student debt relief plans, including the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, face potential threats due to legal challenges and some resistance from Republicans in Congress. A Pennsylvania recipient of student loan forgiveness introduced Vice President Harris. Brittany Schaub is a special education teacher in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Schaub said she heard about the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF, but most people who applied for it didn't receive it during the last administration.
The Biden-Harris administration fixed PSLF and made the process easy. So I applied and later had my student loans forgiven. And now I help my fellow teachers get the debt forgiveness they deserve.
The AFT conference wrapped up Thursday in Houston. I'm Danielle Smith. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy, 68 tonight. Slight chance of a thunderstorm for your Sunday with a high around 82. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low around 70, and a couple of thunderstorms possible on Monday. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Crude and Dom.
The Kamala sugar high continues on the Devil's Advocates radio show, the very next one. But the ice picks are coming out for her. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Shaw, WAUK.
July 27th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. We're coming to you live, local, and remote. I'm in Bloomington, Minnesota, where my daughter's team, the ESA Waukesha Suffragettes U14 softball team, are competing in the NAFA, the National Tournament Softball. And, of course, we're also with you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown there in the Walk Radio studios and right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And there, manning the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, is my faithful producer, the mighty Max Martinson. Max, how are you today?
I am doing great. This is the first time I've ever done one of these remotely, so...
Yeah, they're fun.
It seems to be working okay so far. So
yeah, you're doing a great job putting that together. Thank you. My guest this morning is also there in studio, Kristen Oakley, a Waukesha writer and writing instructor, talking about her genre of thrillers and dystopian themes and other projects. Kristen, how are you this morning?
I'm great. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
It sure is. Yes, thanks for doing this, too. Appreciate it. So, as I mentioned, Kristen is today's guest, so she'll be the primary subject of our show. But also on the agenda, we'll touch on the Paris Olympics that opened last night. I don't know if either of you caught the opening ceremonies.
I thought
it was lovely.
I did.
Pretty interesting with the boats, you know, instead of in a Coliseum. We'll be doing Acting Locally, Thinking Globally, and the fact that this national softball tournament is played on public parks, diamonds, same here, and also when we were in Kansas City last week, that I think there's just so many moments, opportunities to pause and take a look and see what Waukesha could do to replicate something like this and draw more people in from around the country and, well, even around the world. We'll also be talking about the Carroll Minute and the free counseling services they have through August 22nd. And then, of course, we should be getting two farmers market reports this morning, Max. I don't know who's there manning the market for us today, but I guess it'll be a nice surprise. And then city news throughout the show. And I want to remind everybody, if you haven't already, download the Civic Media app. That includes you too, Kristen Oakley. That way you can take... Walk Radio, all the great programming, including This Week in Waukesha, with you wherever you go, even here in Minnesota. I had some of the softball parents download the Civic Media app last night. And there's also, when you're traveling, it's a great companion, especially if you're Brewers fans, if you're doing any vacationing in the Northwoods before school starts. You can catch all the Brewers action on 98.3. I believe that's Rock Falls, Max. Yeah, the country 98Q, it's also known as. And primarily plays country music, but they give you the Brewers on the radio there. So another great reason to have the Civic Media app. So let's get started. Kristen, thanks so much again for joining us. I have here in reviewing your bio that you had your first book published In 2009, it was called Carpe Diem Illinois, and it won the 2014 Chicago Writers Association Book of the Year Award. Very impressive. And then you had a sequel called God on Mayhem Street, which was a finalist in the 2018 Winning Writers Northbrook Street Prize. I think that's another great accolade. And then you started, or you had a, you have a young adult dystopian novels, and there was a Devil Particle series. I believe that was in, over the Devil Particle, the initial offering was released in 2023. Mm-hmm. And then later that year, book two, The Vessel, was released. And then your final two books are expected to be out, The Runner and The Renegade, in 24 and 25, respectively. I'd have to say, it's quite a resume. How'd you do it?
Good question. Well, I've always written my whole life, and I always thought I'd write a novel sometime. And finally, my daughters, I homeschooled my two daughters. I understand Max was homeschooled too. So yay, yay team homeschool. And they finally became, you know, high school age and more independent. And I thought, okay, now it's time to write that first book. And what would that book be about? And that summer, I was listening to Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the car. And I thought, why is it that novels tend to show future societies as dystopians, you know, and why not create a society that's better, an improvement over ours rather than worse? And of course, Bradbury was making a point, but I thought, you know, let's do something more optimistic. And then what would that be? What would that society look like? And so I thought, well, that's easy. I unschooled my two daughters, which is child-led learning, and it would be an unschooling community where everybody unschooled. And so that's when I came up with the idea and started writing the novel, Carpe Diem Illinois. And actually came out in 2014. I started writing it in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just took off from there. And I didn't know it was going to be a sequel until I wrote the last line. I'm a, what they call a pantser. I write from the seat of my pants, or a discovery writer. I don't know what's going to happen until I write it. Yeah.
Oftentimes that's the best writing, is when you're just kind of chronicling and reporting.
Right.
And either what's going on in your imagination or what you're witnessing. Is that's fair to say?
Yes. Uh-huh. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. And so Carpe Diem, Illinois. Are you from Illinois, or did you live there at one time like I did?
Yes, I did. Lived in Freeport. I don't know if you're familiar with Freeport. Directly south of
Madison.
Where
is that again, though? I lived in Evanston in Arlington Heights.
This is north.
North.
Yeah. This is north, closer on the way to Galena. So Highway 20. Yeah. Very north.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of northwest then. Okay.
Right.
All right. That's how I know it.
Yeah. Lived there for about 10 years and then moved to Rockford. Was in Rockford for a few years before there moving to Madison. And now I'm in Waukesha, which I'm very excited to be in Waukesha. Sure.
And how long have you been here in the Shaw?
I've been here since May of last year.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm a newbie.
So I'm a fellow transplant. I've been here 12 years, but I've been in the Milwaukee area maybe a total of 15, 17. I lose track of dates, but I mean, to me, it's home. We really, our family built our life here, and the kids had a great experience so far in Waukesha schools. My youngest will be entering Waukesha South in, I guess it's less than a month now, or somewhere in that neighborhood. But we couldn't be thrilled with the life that we have here. How do you like Waukesha?
I love it. I do. I really do. So I got an apartment on the top floor of the Ridgewalk Apartments, the brand new apartments across from the fire station. And I love,
very cool.
I love, I walked here this morning. I love living downtown. I walked by them setting up the farmer's market. You know, it's just such a quaint, first of all, there's so much going on in this little town, but
Makes
it's
sense.
So quaint. Yeah. It's just wonderful to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's people forget it's a college town. It's our state's oldest college town. And that adds a lot of variety. It's a very diverse city. There's always something going on. Why did you move to Waukesha?
Don't
mind these loaded questions.
Yeah, no, I figured that's a good question. So my sister has lived in New Berlin for, you know, forever. And with her kids and her husband, and now her kids are older. And one lives in New Berlin. The other one lives in West Dallas. I have two daughters. My older daughter actually lives in the Riverwalk Apartments, the big with a red roof. She and her husband and new baby, my new grandma.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. They lived there. They moved because she's a music therapist at the VA in Milwaukee. And
oh,
so
cool.
They moved from Madison to Waukesha.
Okay.
And then my younger daughter was going to UW-Milwaukee studying, getting a second degree in costume design.
Nice.
And so she was here. So everybody's here. And then my mother was living in Madison, and I was living not too far from her in Madison. And we decided to move her into assisted living in St. Camilla's in Brookfield.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
So
okay.
That's my whole family. We have a very small family. That's the whole family. I thought, okay, I need to move over here too. So moved right down the street from my daughter and son-in-law. My son-in-law was, yeah, go for it. That's fine.
That's great.
Yeah. And haven't looked back. I really, really enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, it's just great to hear. You know, our parent company, Civic Media, is headquartered in Madison, and Madison's attracted people from all over. Sage Weil, our CEO and I guess co-founder, came from California and came to Madison. His wife had a very attractive opportunity in the medical community there. And usually the same thing here. You hear kids leaving and graduating. They're going to Madison. Or they're going like, you know, that's a great. It's really neat to hear about people migrating back or migrating to Waukesha. Because I think a lot of the benefits that it has akin to Madison. I mean, I won't dare compare, you know, Waukesha to a big tent city like Madison, but there's some nice flavors for our smaller city that I think really make it attractive. And the fact that we're close to Milwaukee, we're not a bad ride from Chicago.
Right. All of that.
It's got so many advantages. And I imagine for a writer too, there's great fodder, great material.
It is. Well, and then the last time I lived downtown in a city was Madison, and I was in college. And I feel like a college kid again. I walk out my door. I go to the Steaming Cup. That's my favorite latte.
Love the cup.
They have the best chai lattes in the world. Seriously. So I go there. I mean.
That's fair.
You know, Eve at Martha Merrill's bookstore is wonderful. I mean, the Friday Night Lives. It's just so much happening in this little town that it's been wonderful. I love the trains, too. I didn't realize. My dad was a train person. And if he had known, they might have wanted to
live
here.
My mom's family worked in the railroad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting point. For most people, the train's a big annoyance. Especially when I've run into it twice a day. There were quite a few too many stretches. But, you know, there is something magical about railroad and the history. You know, it's ties to our heritage and my family's ties especially.
Yeah.
We worked on my mother's family when they came from Ireland during the famine, worked for the railroads for generations.
Wow.
So it'd be neat if there was a way to capture that somehow or to, I know it's because it's all business. It's all cargo that's being shipped through there and we don't have a train station anymore, but it would be neat to figure out a way to capture the magic that we have this regular transport going through.
Right.
On the railroad.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, it gives you great ideas for another book tied to the railroad.
Definitely. So somebody's going to hop on that train, right?
I have a few concepts. Yeah. So the conversation is going to continue here with author Kristen Oakley. And as she knows too, part of this is she's going to be giving me some coaching because I'm a writer, but I haven't had anything published like Kristen. I have a ways to go before I can call myself a peer of Kristen's, but I really look forward to seeing some tips she has for me and for other aspiring writers here on This Week in Waukesha, Saturday morning, July 27th on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I have a message for any parents with teens who are working summer jobs. I'm going to share our money plans for my kids' summer earnings. Kids rarely make more than $14,600 in a summer, which means they don't have to pay income tax on that. Now, if my kiddo invests some of her wages in a Roth IRA, she can make real investment income over the next 40 years and not have to pay taxes on that. Because that's how Roth IRAs work. You invest post-tax income, you know, like paycheck money, and then you get to withdraw everything without paying taxes on whatever is in that account. So if my 17-year-old invests just $500 this one summer, it's going to turn into more than $10,000 when she retires in 40 years. And that's just from this summer. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
You're listening this week in Waukesha on WUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app. And we're also listening to Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul, with Mary Ford. And are we waiting for the sun to rise there in Waukesha, Kristen and Max, or is the sun already out and shining on us like
the
it is here
in
the city?
The sun is bright and up today. It is. It was really annoying on my drive in, I'll be completely honest, because it was reflecting off of all the buildings in downtown Milwaukee. But yeah, it is most certainly out today.
It's cool, though. It was like 59 when I walked over.
It is out here. The mornings have been cool. We've been very lucky because, you know, Minnesota, like we were in Kansas last week, and Kansas is normally very hot in the summer, but we got very lucky with the weather, for especially for girls playing softball. Because it's always like 10 or 15 degrees hotter on the diamond, and all the diamonds they play on are all sand. So, but time for acting locally, thinking globally, and through these travels the last couple weeks, I've seen these local areas, mostly suburban or smaller cities like Waukesha, hosting national events and bringing in families from all around the region and I think even the country here. And the games are being played on really nice diamonds that have been groomed really well. In fact, one was recently renovated, and the coach is here as we see Coach Jeff Jensen walk by, one of the assistants for our ESA team. Good morning, Jeff. Got to have you on after you eat. So, but point being is that these are public parks that these games are being played on, meaning that the cities are getting a nice bite of the pie, especially in the local businesses too. We've been to so many breweries and restaurants here. And so it's a huge spike for these local economies. And the big question is, this is what we should be thinking about in Waukesha. I know the previous city administrator, Kevin Lehner, had worked really hard about trying to get a minor league baseball team in it, but also a youth baseball component. Cause I think he saw in areas like in Mauston and out in the west of the state, they've got a wonderful baseball, softball facility with hotels and restaurants surrounding it. And now, granted, that footprint allowed for something, a development of something like that ambitious. But for us here in Waukesha, we have a 42-acre park space that's got to be developed for a park as part of the pumping station being put in the old Nike missile base. And my point is that we have an opportunity with that space to develop a similar concept where there's hardball and softball diamonds, indoor facilities for softball, baseball, other sports, and take another step and have a hospitality component, a banquet room, a bar, facility, and you could be hosting a wide range of different events, especially around this $18 billion youth sports industry. You've heard me in previous shows be very critical about what's going on with youth sports and how it's the new Jim Crow for sure, given the expense of participating in these sports. But I think, again, for the City Walk Show, there's an opportunity to redevelop a rec program where kids can afford to be playing baseball clubs and softball clubs, and we're getting more inclusion. But more importantly, we're also getting big revenue spikes in the city by hosting tournaments of this kind. And there's other sports, too. I mean, we see how much pickleball has grown. And so I know the city's working on a strategic plan, and I do believe that that old REMPY, they have to develop it soon, I would think, as required by federal law. And so I'm urging everyone to, you know, go to the next city council meeting. It's the first Tuesday in August. Talk to your alders, call your alders up, and ask about that space. And if you have ideas, you know, we're taking your calls in the Civic Media app, and it's really easy to do. Download the Civic Media app, go to WAUK, and just click on the phone icon. And I would love to hear your ideas about that. But I think if there's one benefit to these tournament travels is you get to see what other communities are doing and how they're cashing in. And I'll certainly have some photos and other maybe metrics to present when I give public comment at a next city council meeting. So, and back to my guest, Kristen Oakley. Have you taken advantage of our wonderful park system in the year that you've been here?
Well, I've been to Manuka quite a few times.
That's a county park, but it's still Waukesha. Yeah, no, we like Manuka.
Okay, yeah.
The beer garden there is fun, the tap
beer
yard.
I have a grand puppy, you know, so a golden retriever. We bring her over there and loves the pond. So I've been there quite a bit. I did not go to, like, the county fair this year. I heard that's really, the Waukesha County Fair is pretty amazing, and we didn't get a chance to go there.
Yeah, we had just gotten back from Kansas City late on Saturday, and we were invited the next day, but we had too much going on with other obligations. But I hope that it went well. I think there's that space again. I think there's so much potential to develop another kind of a business district or an entertainment district, if you will, with some restaurants, bars, hotels, so that in addition to county fair, you could have other events year round in that space. And again, it could be another kind of a second or third downtown for Waukesha, or at least just be another, like, really cool kind of a neighborhood concept where we're drawing in some money. So, we'll have to get you out to some of the city parks. Again, and great material for your books with some of the really cool parks that we have here in Waukesha. So we'll be working on that, talking about that later.
Good.
Yeah. So, but you do like to walk, as you mentioned. You walk here to the studio from your apartment.
Yes, that's right. And I walk out to the cemetery. I've seen Les Paul's gravesite out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to talk. Yeah, I'm on the cemetery commission, and I've really learned a lot about that. We'll have to take you over to Little Lord Fauntleroy's grave, too. Great. Tragic and sad, but also kind of an inspiring story about how this young orphan boy was. Kids send little toys, and they put it on his gravestone, and it's a really neat Waukesha tradition.
Okay.
That I've participated in on a couple occasions, but they also too, the Friends of the Cemetery do wonderful hay rides with a kind of a history tour through the cemetery. Well, and believe it or not, that was in the summer. That was a place they would have like picnics there and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Beautiful pretty. Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, with the history of Waukesha too, I think there's great opportunities. We'll have to connect you with Josh Hughes, who's been on my show twice. He leads the ghost tours in Waukesha.
Cool.
It's a franchise, and he owns a Waukesha franchise. And he's very passionate about the paranormal. And Waukesha does have a paranormal and UFO history.
Oh,
and so I think there may be some synergies there in getting you and Josh together.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. That'll be true. How are we doing on time here, Mr. Max? Okay. So.
Well, I also walk up to the university, which is one of the prettiest campuses for that size of a university. It's just gorgeous. Yeah, sure. They keep the grounds beautiful, the flowers, everything. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned that. Carol does do a nice job. And many of those houses you see are part of those beautiful historic homes are part of the university. When I was on the council, I got invited to an open house at Dr. Cindy Nattinger's house. That was really nice. So, but we're going to continue the conversation here with author Kristen Oakley. Here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. And if you're an aspiring writer or just want to learn how to write better, we'd love to hear your questions for Kristen, again, using the Civic Media app. And if you haven't already, download it so you can take it with you anywhere you go and stay in tune with what's going on here, not only in the Shaw, but all around Scotty.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. 25,000 tourists and residents forced to flee the historic Rocky Mountain town of Jasper, Canada, pursued by a fast-moving wildfire.
It got pushed by winds of up to 125 kilometers per hour. That's certainly unusual for our mountain community, but that's what happened.
Jasper Mayor Richard Ireland on the first full day of competition at the Summer Olympics in Paris.
China took the first gold of the games. They've got two so far, but the Americans have won a medal. We've got silver right now in the 3-meter synchronized springboard competition. Sarah Bacon and Cassidy Cook with those honors.
CBS's Dana Jacobson in Paris. Israeli forces are dropping leaflets on Palestinians sheltering in parts of Al-Mawazi in Gaza. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more.
It suggests that an impending Israeli operation is afoot in that part of what was previously designated a humanitarian safe zone.
CBS News Brief. I'm Vicky Barker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Jordan Love has a new contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Jordan Love has agreed to terms with the Green Bay Packers on a contract making him the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. 4 years, $222 million, and a record-high signing bonus of $75 million, $155 million in guaranteed cash. The deal in Green Bay came down just hours after Love's agency, Athletes First, had completed a deal for Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, setting the bar for Jordan Love's contract. Brian Gutekunst.
He's our franchise quarterback, and we're ready to move forward. It's not like we're trying to make that decision. But at the same time, we want to put the best team around him we can. There's certainly the structure of it so that we can do what we need to do for our football team moving forward, not only this year, but years to come. So we got a lot of work to do. You know, we think we have a very good football team, but we got to come together as a team, and he's a big part of that. So him being out there is important for us.
Baseball, the Brewers losing at home last night to the Miami Marlins, 6-2. They'll play again tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield, stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy, 68 tonight. Slight chance of a thunderstorm for your Sunday with a high around 82. Scattered storms Sunday night, a low around 70, and a couple of thunderstorms possible on Monday. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 55.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Jazz up your week with the many opportunities to enjoy music at Cutler Park. Jazz at Cutler is featuring Marsha Daniel and her combo on Wednesday, July 24th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Les Paul Performance Center. Following on Thursday, July 25th at Les Paul Performance Center, Jazz Express is playing at 8 p.m. Stop by to tap your feet to the jazzy tunes from the big band era. It's great music and tons of fun for the summer. Jazz up the week at Cutler Park.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
10.
Nice work.
Thanks. Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right?
Yes.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes. Nugenix is a great way to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And as Frank says, she'll like it too.
Text RADIO to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Text RADIO to 321-321. That's RADIO to 321-321.
Earl Ingram.
Tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Okay, and we're coming to you live, local, and remote. I'm in Bloomington, Minnesota, and there in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in studio is the mighty Max Martinson and my guest, Kristen Oakley. Thanks again to both of you for making this possible. And there in the Suffragette City, as you hear from the David Bowie song, and I very much, you know, Waukesha goes by many nicknames. Guitar Town USA is another favorite. The Spring City, of course, which again, there are some great themes there from the Springs era, Kristen, you could explore for your writing. And then, of course, this I like calling Waukesha the Suffragette City because of the legacy of Theodora Yeomans, and we honor her park on every show, right? Or that little postage stamp park there in front of the rotunda. But she was, do you know who Theodora Yeomans was, Kristen?
I don't.
And that's okay. You've only been here a year, and I only learned it just a few years ago when I was on the council. She was a graduate of Carroll and a reporter for the Freeman, who became the president of the Wisconsin Women's Suffrage Movement.
Super.
And was very instrumental in making Wisconsin the first state in the Union to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. So we honor her. And very timely to talk about this with the primary we have coming up on August 13th. And I'm a big fan of the not vote early, vote often, but vote early and take advantage of the absentee voting opportunities. The election's held on August 13th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's a Tuesday, but you can do absentee voting by mail, or else you can also show up at the clerk's office at City Hall from 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. And I think that it goes another hour on, from July 30th through August 9th, you can vote in person at City Hall, outside the clerk's office there on the first floor. It's 8 a.m. to 4:30, Tuesday, July 30th through Friday, August 9th. But on Friday, August 9th, those hours are extended to 5 p.m. So a lot of opportunities to make your vote count, especially in this very, very important election. This is your one franchise, the one empowerment you have that makes you equal to all Americans. And every vote certainly can make an influence. And any questions with that, please drop by. We have a wonderful city clerk's office here in the city of Waukesha, very user-friendly staff, customer-friendly, that can help you secure your vote for the upcoming primary. And it's good practice for the big national election coming up in November. So, I am joined by Kristen Oakley. And I'm throwing all these great book ideas at her. And she's just like, slow down, Don. I got two more in my dystopian, young teens dystopian, I think is what you called the series. Is that right?
It's the Devil Particle series. Yeah.
Yes, the Devil Particle. So the first one came out last year, correct?
They both came out last year. That's right. The first one came out June.
Okay, that's right.
June of last year, and the second one in November.
Okay. How long did it take you to work on to write those?
It's really hard to say, but I would say at least 4 years, 4.5 years. It's the fun thing about it was it started out as a very short story, what we call flash fiction, because it's.
Which are harder to write, I understand, short stories versus novels.
It's a totally different animal. So, you know, some people are really good at those and some people are good at novels. And, so it started, it was 900 words, short story. And the character I just really liked, and it wouldn't let me go. So I thought, no, I can make a book out of this.
Tell us about your character.
So the character, originally in the short story, he was 35, his middle-aged, 35-ish a man who was married with no kids. But in this series, he's 17. And he is an older.
Oh.
Yeah, he's 17. He is has a.
So it's kind of like a flashback?
No, it's a totally different.
Portrait or no?
No, totally different.
Oh, you just made him younger.
Because it's young adult dystopian. So I wanted the protagonist to be a young adult. And he has an older brother, and his mother had passed away a couple years ago. He's got his dad. But he is. He wants to prove himself to the world, as most teenagers do. And in particular, he does because his mother didn't care much for him. Unfortunately, she didn't like him. So he has strived for the years to show how great he is. And the main reason is because in this world, they have discovered that evil is a known quantity that can be collected and contained. Yeah. So collected from people and contained in one thing so that there would be no more evil in the world, which is in this particular world, it's on the brink of destruction. So they need to do something. They have to contain it, though, in a 17-year-old. And so he volunteers along with 49 other young people, and they go into these vessel trials to compete to see who's going to be the devil particle vessel, the devil particle.
So there's definitely that Ray Bradbury science fiction component to it.
There is, yeah, yeah. There's some Hunger Games elements and Divergent elements. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Say, for the benefit of those listening, define dystopian. I know it, but not many people. There's some people probably like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. So dystopian is a world that's gone to pot, gone to hell. I can say that on the radio.
There's like authoritarian, right? Well, there's an authoritarian regime, kind of like Soylent Green or like these other futuristic.
There tends to be that. Yes, definitely. In young adults, there tends to be young adults are going against the system or their parents or something like that.
Okay.
And in this case, yes, there is a government that's trying. In this case, it's best not to have the world explode, you know, because there's wars going on and it's bad. Yeah.
So not to draw anyone away from WAUK, but I at first heard the word dystopian when I used to love listening to the game show on NPR called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, yeah.
And the host, I forget his name. He's a wonderful guy. He's very, very enchanting. And he was talking about how my kids loved Thomas and Friends, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine. Max, I'm sure you're a Thomas guy in your young age, right?
I was honestly more of. I didn't really watch a whole lot of like children's TV, but the Backyardigans hold a special place in my heart still. So
there you go. Like my son was Pablo for Halloween one year. Pretty funny. We still got the pictures, but his older brother loved, like, every time I took him out, he had to get a new train. He would do whatever it took to get a new train. And when my youngest daughter was born, he wanted to name her Lady after one of his favorite Thomas trains. But I mentioned this on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. The host had mentioned that someone had likened Thomas to a dystopian society. And that prompted me to look it up. And if you remember Sir Topham Hatt, the guy who ran the railroad, used to talk about the trains being on time or something like that. And he was like kind of this real disciplinarian. And supposedly they were likening him to Mussolini, who always talked about keeping the trains on time. Mm-hmm. He was the fascist leader. He was creating basically a dystopian society in Italy during World War II, and they were allied with the Nazis, of course. But so that's what kind of drew my kind of fascination towards the topic, and why I said I was interested in having you on your show. Is there any timing with these books in light of like what's going on in our national politics and fears many people have about heading towards a dystopian regime?
No, not really. It just so happens that when you're writing, things happen in the world that, you know, because like I said, I've been working on these for several years. What's interesting is in this book, there's a lot of shootings, which of course are not typical, but there is some of that happening in the country. So because of that, in this world, they have restricted the amount of people that can gather at one point, and it's 10 people and no more. And I wrote all that way before COVID came out, and then we had and I thought that'll never happen. They'll never restrict that only 10 people can be in an area at one time. That in our world, that'll never happen. And then it did. So it's kind of weird how sometimes authors can predict stuff like that. I don't know if I predicted it or not, but it actually, and then came to fruition. And then I'm like, well, now we've lived through this, and now we can even write more about it because we actually experienced it and we know what that feels like, so we can do it. But I think a lot of people, I know there are some pandemic novels that are out now, but I think people were so burnt out by that they don't really want to read about that so much. I think we got to give it a little time yet before people are really interested in that. But when you get going back to dystopians, basically what happens with dystopians is somebody wants to create a utopia, a perfect society where everybody's healthy and wealthy and wise and all of those things. And it backfires on them because it just doesn't, you can't do that. You know, we're humans and we're flawed, and you just can't control them in a way to make us all perfect. It's just not going to happen. Hey,
and real quick, a special good morning to the Hansons. Daughter Mia, one of the stars of the ESA Suffragette softball team. She's been making a meal out of the ball. She had a frozen rope double that should have been a triple or a home run, but the fence line didn't go all the way out in the left field in the foul territory as the ball was rolling. And ground rule double, but it was an RBI and a heck of a shot. But glad to see Mia looking healthy and ready for action. Ladies lost a heartbreaker last night, 7-5. They came back, though, in the last inning. They were down 7-2 against Janesville Cyclones, a team we lost to the Janesville Championship last year. And so tough loss, but so they need to win every game today. And the first one's at 9:55, so I'll be able to head over there after the show. So really excited about that. And hey, Kristen, you know, since you're new to Waukesha reasonably, I don't know if you knew there's a food truck Friday now at the Waukesha County Airport. You mentioned going to the fair, so you know where it is. But we're giving away a lunch for two and at the food truck. And to do that, the link is WaukeshaCounty.gov/airport. That's WaukeshaCounty.gov/airport. So go online there and enter to win your free lunch for two, the giveaway. And I would imagine at our stand at the farmers markets, they're chatting that up as well. So I did make my way over there, and they do have some pretty tasty options, I would say. Fair to say. So, so returning to our subject though about this, so are there people that call themselves dystopians, or they probably call themselves utopians? They have some other ism to describe themselves, but what they're moving towards, or what happens by hook or by crook, is that it becomes dystopian. Is that fair to say, Kristen?
I think so. Mm-hmm. At least in fiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So, but that's, I'm of that age. I grew up during the Cold War, and I was like a middle schooler, like my daughter's age, or she just finished eighth grade. But it was during those middle school years that in English class you were reading. Well, first of all, you're learning current events. I had a wonderful sixth grade teacher, but it was at that age that I learned about the threat of nuclear devastation, which for a 12-year-old is very difficult. And so more than any thriller, more than any slasher movie or book, it was these, a lot of these science fiction or these dystopian writers, like George Orwell, you know, reading those were very frightening to me, more than any, because of the potential reality for it, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and is that kind of what might have drawn you in as well, Kristen?
I think so. Well, more was the philosophical background.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know what a world without evil would actually look like.
Sure.
And would that be good or not? I mean, does evil serve a purpose?
Yeah.
And so explore some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I remember Mark Twain saying that his hero was Adam, that in his great sin, or the great, you know, giving, you know, biting the apple, whatever that was, or getting Eve to bite the apple, that he'd created humanity. And the yin and the yang of all of us, the good and the bad, and that maybe one doesn't exist without the other. But
I think that's true. Yeah.
How we can have a sort of balance where maybe good kind of overshadows the evil enough that we can address these issues like poverty and a lot of the corruption, a lot of white collar crime we see. But more on that, as well as a deeper dive into Kristen Oakley's books, for whatever she's willing to share. But I can't wait to check these out. These are award-winning books, and it's great to have another writer here in residence here in the Suffragette City of Kristen Oakley. We're also going to talk about some upcoming events like Jazz at Cutler Park, Safety Days in the Park. So many great opportunities to not only soak in the summer, but get some culture and learn some very important things here. And this week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And don't forget to check us out in the Civic Media app. Take my show and all the great Civic Media programming with you anywhere you go.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey,
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
In the city of Waukesha, there's a thousand things I want to say to all of you as we enjoy one of my favorite jam tunes in the city about the young idea. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live, local, and remote. I am in Bloomington, Minnesota, in the Twin Cities area. And my faithful producer, the mighty Max Martinson, is there in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown with my guest, writer, Waukesha resident, and writing instructor, Kristen Oakley. But first, I want to let you know next week, we have some very special guests. That's the August 3rd broadcast. We'll have Waukesha South graduates and members of the Blackshirt football program, Hector Carranza and Tyler Williams, coming to say goodbye as they depart. They continue their football careers and their education. Hector's going to be at Carthage College in the CCIW, one of the greatest conferences in the country, along with our own WIAC. Carroll University is in that conference as well. And so we're really excited to hear more about Hector. And then Tyler Williams going to Concordia, Minnesota, here in the Twin Cities. And really excited to see both those young men continuing their education. And one of their great passions, football, at the collegiate level. So, but in the second hour, Bob Mitnock and Sean Riley, who you know is our mayor, our beloved mayor, they'll be here in another capacity. They're on the board of the, they're in the Rotary Club, I guess, committee for the annual Blues Fest taking place at Waganaki Park, August 9th and 10th. And I think it's one of those rare weekends where we don't have anything going on in my family. So we might try to make our way out there to Blues Fest. It's been quite a few years now when the last time I was there, but my wife and I had a wonderful time and a beautiful Friday night enjoying some blues. And for those of you more on the jazz side, we have a jazz at Cutler Park. And let me see who we have. Oh, coming up on July 31st, I believe this is the final segment. That was the Carmen Nickerson Band. And I'm bummed I wasn't here last Wednesday. I was here in Minnesota. With Marcia Daniel and her combo. I really wanted to check them out, but unfortunately wasn't meant to be. And then also want to remind you, for any of you with kids or just love movies, the final Monday night movie in the park of the summer is Wonka. On this Monday, July 29th, head to Cutler Park starting about 6 p.m. to make a candy necklace and visit with Candyman himself. And that starts at 7:15. And speaking of Wonka, as you know, I think probably everyone's favorite Willy Wonka movie was the one with Gene Wilder, another favorite son of the Milwaukee area. And there's a great documentary about Gene Wilder that's on, I forget which one of the streams it's on, if it's Netflix or another, but it's definitely well worth an hour of your time. Amazing life. And it's great to see one of the locals do well at such a high level in entertainment. Comedy as well as drama, and a lot Gene Wilder did for philanthropy as well, especially for women's cancer as the widower of the wonderful Gilda Radner, whose life was cut short by ovarian cancer. So if you love documentaries like I do, or love great histories about great people, check out that one about Gene Wilder. So and don't forget Monday night at Cutler Park with Wonka. So but my guest, Kristen Oakley, do you envision any of your books becoming movies or television series?
All of them.
Fantastic. So, and I saw that you had some training on teaching writers how to pitch to agents. So you obviously have a background in that, some success in that. How are your books published now?
So the current series, I'm self-publishing. And
you're self-published? Okay.
Yeah. So when I started with the first series, was thinking about it back in 2012. That wasn't, self-publishing was coming into the mainstream, but it was still kind of looked down upon. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Why can't you get traditionally published? Right. And then I looked into that for a while, and the process to do that takes years to get it, to get a book. Once the book is done, it still takes about 3 to 5 years to actually get it published traditionally. And I thought, you know what, the book is so good and it's ready to go now. I don't want to wait years. And I contacted a local publisher in Mineral Point, Wisconsin, Kristen Mitchell of Little Creek Press.
All right.
And she published it for me, the first two books.
Fantastic.
Really? And then I've, since then I've learned a lot about self-publishing, and now you hear many, many people say, don't bother going traditionally published, because you lose all control over your books and the money and everything else. Do it all self-publishing, which is a big deal. It's a lot of work. I will say, it's not for the faint of heart.
But you see higher percentages of your, the books you sell in terms of revenues.
I get everything. I get 100% of it. I don't have to pay an agent. I don't have to pay a publisher. I get everything. I have to pay for everything too. You know, cover designer and all that.
Yeah. And I remember Kristen reading an article in New York Times about Harper Lee and Kill Mockingbird and the process. That was like a good 3 to 5 year process when they, there were some family friends from Alabama living in New York that were connected to the publisher. I think it was Harper. Harper Lee's the author. I forget. But it was one of the big names in publishing. And they flew her to New York. They took her in for 3 to 5 years because she was a very young woman when she wrote that. And that book did not hit the – it was until 3 or 4 years later that that book finally made it out. And I always wondered about that. It's like, God, what, you know, how did she, was she living on crackers and water while they're waiting for that book to get published?
Probably waiting tables in Manhattan.
Waiting tables, like a lot of, interesting. But with self-publishing, if you're willing to take on all the other hats of a publisher and a writer, and you're probably doing your own editing, or did you outsource that?
No, there's different kinds of editing, and my developmental edit, which is somebody who looks over the whole story, and the plot and the characterization and all of that. Okay. I hire Tim Storm out of Madison. He does that with me. And then I use like Pro Writing Aid for copy editing, which is your grammar and your punctuation.
Is that kind of like Grammarly, but maybe more advanced, the better?
Yeah, I've used
software.
Grammarly too. It's a little bit more advanced. And then I have critical readers that read it over for me. No matter what, you're going to find a typo, even after the book's published. But they're pretty good at finding those for me. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Neat. So, and that probably, since you had one or two under, it gave you the confidence to continue doing it and honing your craft on the writing as well as the publishing side.
Right. I like to say that every book is better than the last one because I've learned so much, you know, and I keep working at it. And that's my goal always. So this third book in this current series, I thought it was ready to go, and I sent it to my critical readers, and two of them, four said, "Oh yeah, it's great." Two of them were like, "Nope, that's got
to
be."
So we're approaching. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Okay. We're approaching our second hour with Kristen Oakley here on This Week in Waukesha, and we're going to learn, as she said, there's so much to learn, and we're looking forward to hearing more on Kristen and her craft as a writer from Waukesha.
The Shaw, WAUK. Maggie Dawn.
Next, have you heard of the recombobulation area? Well, Dan Schaefer's sitting in the host chair, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Grandpa's barbecue sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic, reliable, just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.